opening ceremonies.
The United States of America doesn't stand with murderous dictatorships. We stand up to murderous dictatorships.
Now, within the hour, President Trump's to address that same CPAC conference, and reports are he'll announce the largest package ever of sanctions against North Korea to further pressure that nation into giving up its nuclear and missile programs. Meanwhile, the president's daughter Ivanka Trump's arrived in South Korea, where she'll be attending the closing ceremonies for the Winter Games. And this is USA Radio News.
For some reason, being unpatriotic has become a trend as a way to protest perceived injustices in our country. But true patriots understand that America stands for liberty and justice for all. Standing for the flag and our national anthem is a sign of respect for the liberties and freedoms fought for by millions who made the ultimate sacrifice for this great nation. If you stand for the flag and kneel before the cross, show your position through apparel and merchandise from the Patriot Depot. Patriot Depot has hats, shirts, mugs, books, and other articles that show our beliefs in the First and Second Amendments. Go to PatriotDepot.com now and enter code USA at checkout. Find novelties, bumper stickers, clothing, flags, books, and more. PatriotDepot.com merchandise allows true patriots to express their opinions. Check it out right now. PatriotDepot.com. PatriotDepot.com and enter code USA at checkout.
Available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. There are those who settle for nothing less. For them, the choice is simple. It's either up to Mercedes-Benz standards, or it isn't. It's flawlessly maintained, or it isn't. It's either Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned, or it isn't.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Republicans now looking for a plan B on immigration reform after a series of proposals were rejected in the U.S. Senate yesterday, and that leaves very little time to act before some 800,000 illegal immigrants brought to the country as children could face deportation. Senator John Thune of South Dakota, the number three Republican in the Senate, now floating a proposal that would extend the DACA program indefinitely in exchange for $25 billion for the border security that President Trump wants. If you use Google's Chrome web browser, you might start seeing fewer ads this week.
The company is launching a built-in ad blocker to filter out the most annoying types of ads, such as screen-hogging pop-ups and ads that autoplay video. When a user reaches a site where ads have been blocked, they receive a notification along with the option to always allow ads on the site.
That's USA Radio's Wendy King. Hey, we're online, just like Google, at usaradio.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaroot. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a one-ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Veterans Affairs Secretary David Shulkin telling lawmakers he will repay more than $4,000 spent on his wife's airfare for an 11-day trip to Europe over the past summer. A report made public by the VA's internal watchdog also says Secretary Shulkin improperly accepted tickets to the Wimbledon tennis tourney. Shulkin admitting to the House Veterans Affairs Committee, quote, "I do recognize the optics of this are not good." He added he wants to make things right. The report also finds Shulkin's chief of staff, Vivica Wright Simpson, altered emails to make it appear that Shulkin was getting an award to justify his wife's traveling on the public's dime. It seems former top White House advisor Steve Bannon is getting very familiar with the special counsel in the Russia investigation, Robert Mueller and his team. NBC News is reporting that Bannon has been interviewed by Mueller multiple times just in the past week. Mueller, of course, investigating Russian interference in the presidential campaign, including possible collusion between President Trump's team and Moscow. The Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health studying the accuracy and accessibility of fentanyl detection methods. Experts say fentanyl is directly related to the increase in opioid fatalities across the U.S. And actor Jeffrey Tambor will not return to Amazon's comedy series Transparent, the Emmy winner hit with misconduct allegations.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
And the weather report for the Hunterdon County area begins today with showers, mainly between 1 and 4 p.m., a high near 55, light northwest winds between 6 and 11 miles per hour in the afternoon, and the chance of precipitation is 90%. Tonight, mostly clear skies with a low around 22, north winds between 5 and 10 miles per hour becoming light after midnight. Winds could gust as high as 20 miles per hour. On Saturday, increasing clouds with a high near 38. Calm winds becoming southeasterly between 5 and 7 miles in the afternoon. Saturday night snow, mainly before 4 a.m., low around 28. And south winds around 5 miles per hour becoming calm. The chance of precipitation is 90% and new snow accumulation of 3 to 7 inches is possible. On Sunday, we have sunny skies and a high near 46 with west winds between 6 and 8 miles per hour. And then in the evening, mostly clear skies with a low around 30. Washington's birthday, hopefully you won't have to work, but there will be a chance of showers after 1 p.m., mostly cloudy skies and a high near 50, and the chance of precipitation is 50%.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And you're listening to Hands Across Hunterdon. Hunterdon Helpline show on Friday mornings between 10 and 11. I am Susan Lax, host of the show and executive director of Hunterdon Helpline, and I welcome you to our little meeting here today. We'll be talking a lot about nonprofits, as usual, businesses who participate with nonprofits, paying it back, giving it forward, a topic that I always love. We'll also be talking about two of our really big events coming up, the first of which on March 20th is the Town Crawl in Clinton. And we want to give a shout out to Clinton and all the wonderful things that are going on there. It's a very quaint yet sort of modern in terms of the boutiques, etc., always something new and unique there, and yet still a mixture of the old. Just walking across that bridge just puts you in another time, in another place, in another frame of mind for sure. So we'll be talking about that. If you want more information about our town crawl, visit us on Facebook. Lots of information there to get your tickets and get them early. And we'll talk a little bit about why the seating is limited. But I also want to talk about the fact that I just graduated the board development course at United Way. Last night was my last course, and we were talking about board development and really what are the roles and responsibilities of board members. One of the things about nonprofits I would like to talk about, in addition to our fundraising, in addition to the different things that we do at Helpline, our board members are a very important, integral part of that. And I know with working with other nonprofits, it's a about the board. It really is. Whether you move forward, whether you succeed, whether you have sustainability, having board members who are committed, who get it, who have ownership is so, so important. So I can talk about a fundraiser. I can encourage you to come to the town crawl on March 20th. But let's talk about board of directors, because maybe somebody out there listening is actually thinking about becoming a board member and is wondering, what exactly does it entail? Do they have the time for it? Does it require any time? Is it hands-on or simply advisory? What are those roles and responsibilities? And that's what's so important before we even get into what I would expect from Hunter and Helpline's board members. Any organization really has to define that at the very beginning. Before you even ask somebody if they're interested, you really need to say, with your board, with the CEO or executive director, what is it you want from a board member? Who is that person? What are they bringing to the table? Do you just want the connection? Do you just want financial support, somebody who's going to buy tickets to your fundraisers, or do you want somebody who's going to roll up their sleeves? One doesn't preclude the other, but you have to decide as an organization what it is that you need and how far do those responsibilities go. One of the first things that really is on the table when you talk about your board of trustees or your board of directors, however you label it, is their fiduciary responsibility. They are responsible for that organization. I'm responsible for Helpline on a day-to-day basis. I either succeed with my goals in alignment with the mission of the organization, or the board of directors fires me. You know, that's it. But with the board of directors, they are responsible if something goes wrong. If, you know, the worst of the worst, financially something goes wrong. If, unfortunately, somebody decides to do something to sabotage the organization, they are the responsible entity, both financially and legally, to keep that organization running, not just operationally, but ethically and according to the legal responsibilities it has as a nonprofit. So that's a big responsibility. A lot of people say, oh, I want to join the board. They don't realize, and I'm glad to say this doesn't happen all the time, but they don't realize should something bad happen that they are in fact responsible. So that needs to be really clear at the very beginning of that conversation. Then it's a question of, obviously, when does your board meet? When is it a time that that prospective board member can make? What is expected at those board meetings? You're not simply supposed to show up. You're supposed to read the minutes. You're supposed to read the documents that are sent ahead of time to streamline those meetings. Or maybe not. Maybe some boards say, here's your packet at the beginning. We're going to have a work session. Here you have time to read it, etc. But again, being clear about what those responsibilities are in terms of coming to those meetings. What we do at Helpline, and most organizations do, is when someone is interested in becoming a board member, we have a packet. In that packet, it defines the roles and responsibilities. It also includes a code of ethics, code of conduct, and also a conflict of interest document that they need to sign, because when you become a board member of a nonprofit, you are not to profit in any way. One of the misnomers is that nonprofits cannot make a profit. That's not so. Individuals in the organizations, the board members, again, the people with the fiduciary responsibility, they cannot profit in any way from being on that board. So in other words, say the organization has a fundraiser and they give X amount of dollars to a board member, I don't know, for showing up, whatever. That is not allowed. But certainly it is encouraged in this day and age to operate like a business, to have that nest egg, to have a buffer, if you will, and have financial resources in an account that should something happen, you lose a grant or what have you, that you have funds to fall back on to meet your payroll, to meet your program expenses, etc. So when people say, oh my gosh, you know, you have to have a zero balance, that is not so. But the individuals who are responsible for the organization are not to profit from it. Now, if I'm going to reach out to you and say, would you consider being on the board of Helpline? I would tell you that there's certainly benefits to being on the board of Helpline. The first and foremost is that you're doing good work. You are supporting an organization that has been around for 49 years, that operates 24/7, meeting the challenges of people in need. But you also have another opportunity to meet good people on the board, to even network, but again, not to profit monetarily from that association. We're going to talk a little bit more about board members and what those responsibilities are, and then talk very seriously and candidly about their responsibilities towards raising funds for an organization. We'll be right back after these messages.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're back listening to Hands Across Hunterdon, Hunterdon Helpline's radio show here Friday mornings on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And it is your voice of business. And we are 24/7, 365 days of the year. Hunterdon Helpline is your first call for help. Give us a call at 908-782-4357. That's 908-782-4357. For any challenge you are facing, whether it's basic human needs, shelter, mental health, physical health, seniors, family, youth services, employment, emergencies, suicide prevention, compassionate listening. We also are connected with the link if you can't get through and can provide you with transportation information. Our programs include telephone reassurance, friendly visitor, literacy services, work connectivity, and so much more. But before we get into all of that, it is our job to know what the other nonprofits in the area provide in terms of programs and services, and we try to give you a robust solution to your challenge by not just talking about Helpline and its programs, but by connecting you to the community resources that are available given that issue that you are facing. 908-782-4357, 908-782-4357, or please visit us on the internet and learn about Helpline. We've been in existence for 49 years at www.helplinehc.org. So we're talking about a couple of fundraisers that are coming up for 100 and Helpline, but first we're actually going into what it takes to be a board member, because we can't put on those fundraisers. Actually, we can't put on any programs if it wasn't for our very robust, committed, supportive board of directors. And we're talking about what it takes to become a board member, because I said earlier I just graduated the United Way's board development course, and we were discussing this last night. And 100 and Helpline is always looking for board members. But what does that mean? And every organization is different up to a degree. Where the commonalities are lie in that, again, you are responsible. You are the fiduciary officers of the company, so to speak. And so when something goes wrong, it is your responsibility to correct it, to make sure that the health and welfare of the organization is moving forward in a positive way. You are responsible for taking charge of not personnel necessarily, other than coming up with personnel manuals, policies, procedures, but truly being the supervisor, if you will, the boss of the executive director or the CEO of that nonprofit. The executive director or the CEO is in charge of the rest of the staff, but it is the board that supervises that CEO or executive director. Then, of course, governance. And governance takes its shape in so many different forms, first of which you are the keeper of the bylaws. And the bylaws are so important to any organization. It's what you can and what you cannot do. It's an outline of how you're going to operate without getting into policies and procedures, which is more of a living document and can be changed frequently. It takes a little bit more effort to change the bylaws, because you really want them to be in alignment with your mission. You want them to have longevity because you want your organization to have that kind of sustainability and be entrenched, if you will, in a good foundation. And that's really what a bylaws are. It's the foundation of your organization. So the board of directors is responsible for that. And then we go on to the other documents that make an organization: policies and procedures, your code of ethics, your conflict of interest policy, all of which actually should be in a binder when you are bringing on a new board of directors, so there's no surprises. Obviously, there should be an orientation along with that packet, so that person knows exactly what the expectations and the roles are. And as I said in the previous segment, that's a conversation when somebody simply shows interest. Because this isn't like in the olden days when people said, oh, I'll be on the board of a major corporation because it looks great on my resume. Especially with nonprofits, we want you to work. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. We want you to promote the organization. We want you to roll up your sleeves and do some heavy lifting, both figuratively and literally, in terms of being on committees, in terms of writing the documents that support the operations, and also heavy lifting in terms of at the events, you know, schlepping the stuff, helping set up, helping clean up, helping talk to prospective clients or donors, and so forth. So, yes, heavy lifting, both figuratively and literally. That is what is expected. And then, too, to be a presence in the community in regard to the organization. The organization can do outreach every single day, posting on Facebook, changing the website, reaching out from executive director to executive director or to donors. But it's the board of directors, and many of the boards are, I would say, an average of 12 people on a board. They are outreach. They are people who are out in the community every day, who should be talking about the organization, who should be heralding its virtues. And also, yes, this is a terrible thing to say because people don't like to hear it, asking for donations, some monetary, some not, volunteers. But that is a fact of a nonprofit's life. And we cannot operate without funds. And we talked a little bit about what for-profit and nonprofit means, and what nonprofit means in terms of having a profit when you're a nonprofit. Yes, you want to have that nest egg. You can have reserve funds. There's no doubt about it. And so when you don't have a product to sell, and every single program and service of Hunterdon County is free to the clients, how do you pay your staff? How do you pay your administrative costs? How do you pay your programmatic expenses? That is all through fundraising, donations, and obviously grants. And without that, you cannot exist. So the board of directors, very, very important to that process. Very important to that process. And there's a lot of different ways to quote unquote ask. The simplest is, and everybody's done this, particularly if they have kids, you know, the soccer team is selling candy bars, the orchestra, you know, has some other form that they're selling. You know, we talk about the Girl Scouts all the time, and our lust for Thin Mints. So every organization may be free in its services, but we have to sell. We have to do something to bring that money in. So the easiest for a board member probably is to sell tickets to a fundraiser, asking their friends. But, you know, okay, so four people end up going to the fundraiser. Is that sustainable? It's not. It's a start, but it's not sustainable. How do you reach beyond your immediate circle and truly get people to support the organization monetarily? That's a lot, and people run from that. I understand it. I hear it all the time. I'm not a salesperson. I hate asking for money. But, you know, if you start a conversation and you love the organization that you serve as a board member, just start talking about the organization. Engage the person as to what that organization does day in and day out. And the next thing you know, that person might be writing a check. The next thing you know, when they come across the website and see the donate button, they say, you know what, my friend went into this whole thing about this organization and how fantastic it is, and I remember the commitment and the enthusiasm, and I was impressed with the anecdotal information, and they write a check. So it's a little bit easier than people think. Nobody's asking people to go knock on their neighbor's door and say, please write a check for 100 and Helpline. It would be nice, but you know, I don't know how successful you might be. But if you and your neighbors are talking, you know, in the backyard, you know, over the hedges, and you happen to say, I was at a board meeting the other night and I just was overwhelmed by what we do, and then the neighbor starts asking questions again, hopefully that's a trajectory towards the ask and asking that person to support the organization or to volunteer for the organization. Our volunteers are in-kind donations. They actually have a monetary value, because if we had to hire those people, it would be very difficult for us to sustain a payroll of that magnitude. So very, very important, but tell the story. Tell the story of your organization. If you get on a board, that is one of the responsibilities for you to continue to tell that story. We're going to take a break and come back after this break with both news and weather.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A 19-year-old mass shooting suspect confesses to taking 17 lives at his former high school on Wednesday, wounding 12 others. Nicholas Cruz ordered held without bail when he made his first court appearance yesterday.
He went loaded with an AR-15 rifle. He had additional ammunition with him.
That's a prosecutor after yesterday's proceeding. Last night, a vigil was held in Parkland, Florida, where it happened.
Let us stand in a moment of silence in tribute to the beautiful souls we have lost.
Earlier this week, Senate leaders on both sides of the aisle were discussing the possibility of an immigration reform agreement in the Senate by the end of the week. But yesterday, four immigration bills failed to muster enough votes to clear the 60-vote threshold, so it appears it's now stalling in that chamber of Congress. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Howdy folks, Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFCs only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
The weather forecast for the Hunterdon County area. Showers today, mainly between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. A high near 55 degrees and light northwesterly winds increasing to 6 to 11 miles per hour in the afternoon. The chance of precipitation is 90%. Tonight, mostly clear skies with a low around 22 degrees. Northwesterly winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming light after midnight, with winds gusting as high as 20 miles per hour. On Saturday, increasing clouds and a high near 38. Calm winds becoming southeasterly between 5 and 7 miles per hour in the afternoon. Saturday night snow before 4 a.m., low around 28 degrees, and south winds around 5 miles per hour, and then later becoming calm. The chance of precipitation is 90%, and the new snow accumulation of 3 to 7 inches is possible. Sunday we have sunny skies and a high near 46, and westerly winds between 6 and 8 miles per hour. Sunday night mostly clear, a low around 30 degrees, and hopefully you won't start your work week on Monday because you have off for the holiday, Washington's birthday, A chance of showers around 1 p.m., mostly cloudy, with a high near 50, and the chance of precipitation will be 50%. You're back listening to Hands Across Hunterdon. Your first call for help is what Hunterdon Helpline is all about, and it is your host of this show. I'm Susan Lax, and I am Executive Director of Hunterdon Helpline. And we have been talking about what it is to be a board member, because that was the topic of conversation when I was at the United Way Board Development course last night, and wanted to take the opportunity to send the messages out as to how to get involved by being a board member, what are the roles and responsibilities, because not only are nonprofits always looking for board members, but people in our community who do want to pay it back, give it forward, etc., are often interested in becoming a board member and what would be the appropriate organization to reach out to. And as far as that's concerned, well, you know what? We live in the age of technology. It's not a mystery anymore. Go online, Google that organization, or even just Google organizations in your area that serve a particular cause. You may be interested in organizations that work with clients who have cancer, mental illness. You may want to provide services to the homeless. There's so many different life's needs out there. And again, just Google, go to their websites, see what they do, how they do it. Is it something that's pulling your heartstrings? Look to see what their events are like, their operations. Is this an organization that you feel you have time for? Even if they don't talk about the roles and responsibilities of board members on their website, you can pretty much tell, are they very active? Do they have 10 fundraising opportunities every year? Do they have ongoing communication with their clients, an event, a soup kitchen, a pantry, you know, that would require more hours from you? There's ways of determining whether the organization sparks your interest. And once it does, hey, hit the contact button. You can reach out to them and say, I've gone on your website, I'm very interested in your organization, and I would like to hear more about it. And I'm also interested in possibly becoming a board member. And believe me, they will reach out to you immediately. Now, if for some reason you are not asked to serve on the board, don't feel insulted. You could always join a committee. The bylaws of organizations often put in what the requirement is for the board, how many board members, because you do have to have a quorum, etc. So they might be filled at that moment in time, but that does not mean you can walk away. It means that you have another opportunity to serve in terms of committees. And that's a great way to learn about the organization and what the expectations are, and really get to know the people who run the organization, who support the organization, but mostly the clients. And that will also determine your level of interest as to how you want to proceed and pursue, if you will, a board position. So, again, once you make that contact, like I said before, hopefully that organization is well prepared and gives you a packet as to what those roles and responsibilities are. But we ended the last session with fundraising because it is a part of being a board member that you just can't get away from. And I told you what was a good way to end in an ask, not necessarily start with the ask, for those people who, you know, are afraid of making cold phone calls. But again, a very, 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 very important, important aspect of being a board member. Outreach, fundraising, what you're looking at is a commitment to the sustainability of the organization, not just the feel good. And I have to be honest about that. It always feels good to volunteer, but are you contributing to the sustainability of the organization? And what that means is it's financial sustainability. Will it be around in 6 months, in a year, as in the case of Hunterdon Helpline, 49 years? Will it continue to do that great work? And the reason I'm being so realistic is because it is a reality of life that money makes the world go round, and it makes an organization operate. We have expenses just like everyone else. So that board member, oftentimes I hear, well, I'll do marketing in this way. I'll just make a brochure for you. I'm good with PowerPoint. But we're missing an opportunity. And I hate to be this blunt, but telling the story to another person oftentimes is more important than handing off the brochure, which unfortunately gets shuffled under a lot of different papers and 6 months later maybe comes back to the surface. Telling the story of your organization, which is, and you know, it's becoming a cliche instead of saying fundraising, friend-raising. Are you friend-raising? Are you laying the groundwork for somebody to make a donation, to be interested in the organization, to donate? Also, to network with folks who suddenly tell you, you know what? Our company has a grant. And suddenly you've got that to take back to your board and to your executive director and say, wow, here's a grant. It sounds really good. I met with this person. They say we might be a good fit. Board member doesn't have to do the grant writing, okay? That's one thing I will tell you, you get a reprieve from. But by telling that story, by reaching out, by networking, that's friend raising, it leads to fundraising in a very easy, friendly, and non-embarrassing way, because sometimes you ask, you know, could you write a check for my organization? And somebody says no to you and you feel absolutely horrible. Oh my gosh, I put them on the spot. Oh my gosh, you know, that felt awful. And that's really one of the reasons why a lot of people say, just don't ask me to do fundraising. Well, if you are really committed to an organization, you have to face that reality. Absolutely have to face that reality. But if you look at it in terms of friend-raising, in terms of telling the story, someone is going to start to ask questions. And at that point, it's an easy segue into, we need supporters. We need to raise funds. And that person, just simply by making that statement, not by asking, but simply making the statement, the person could say, you know what? This is great. I'll write you a check. You know, how do I donate? Do I go on the website? Whatever. Or, gee, I'd like to volunteer for that organization. And as I said before, volunteers are in-kind donations. And that's just as important because it reduces the payroll of an organization when we can have volunteers instead of paid staff. So tell the story. That is the important part, telling the story. So when I go to my board meeting on Wednesday night, I will be giving them a story to tell and also a fundraiser to promote. And as I said at the beginning, we're going to be talking about the town crawl. We have decided over the course of years that nonprofits have different fundraisers, and we wanted to do something a little bit different because we collaborate with all the other nonprofits, and I go to some of the other fundraisers as well because they do great work and I appreciate their collaboration and their partnership with Helpline. So we decided a few years back that instead of having an annual dinner, we have town crawls. We have them twice a year. We promote a particular town and we do a progressive dinner. So March 20th, mark this down, please. And this is the story that I hope my board